shapes up like this. Our friend Vinny Iyer, who covers the NFL from the Sporting News, he'll chime in here at the bottom of the hour. He kicks off the guest list for the day. So Super Bowl 57 conversation with Vinny Iyer, a Northwestern graduate. We'll get to that in a second, that aspect of things. Vinny Iyer first, and then bracketwag.com. That's Shelby Mast, and he joins us every Tuesday. Iowa State on the 2 line in Shelby's latest bracket here today. That's as high as I've seen the Clones. Iowa sitting on an 8. I've seen them as well-positioned as a 6 in some of the brackets that are out there. But our bracketologist, Shelby Mast, will join us at 11:50. 10 minutes after noon, Adam Emenecker is here. We'll catch up on the week that was the Missouri Valley Conference, focusing in on Drake and on you and I. And then we will wrap things up talking Big 12 as a whole, football and basketball, with our friend Matt Postens from Heartland College Sports. Another fun night last night in the Big 12. Only one game, but Big Monday. And Bill Self, what did I see? Bill Self is now 36-0 on Big Monday. Can that be right?
At home?
At home. Big Monday. 36-0.
That's unthinkable.
That is bizarre if it's true. Saw it out there last night, and I think it was a basketball writer that posted that tweet. So anyways, we know what happened last night, and it was a good game. It looked like it was going to be a blowout game. Texas started the second half on fire, closed the gap, tied the game, and it was kind of back and forth down the stretch. And maybe the player of the year in the Big 12, Mr. Wilson, only having 2 points. Finding a way to win when your best player does essentially nothing, and that's what Jalen Wilson did last night. But Harris is such a difference maker. When he's on, so is Kansas. We'll get back to that game. Everybody wants to talk about the story in sports, unless you want to focus there.
Just one quick note. Did they maybe unlock something here with Yesufu? You mentioned
he's been scoring lately, Trent.
He was kind of the bright spot in the Iowa State game for
them. The bright spot, yeah.
He had that ridiculous dunk on him. Just a beautiful pass. One of the best passes you're going to see in college hoops, and went in for the dunk. Maybe we're going to see a little bit more out of the former Drake Bulldog in Yesufu, because he's given minutes, and he's given some good minutes there. And
scoring.
A veteran.
Yep.
They need a little more scoring punch. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Yesufu basically become, you know, that first guy off the bench. Yeah. That's kind of what he has turned into, at least here the last couple of games. And if that continues, Kansas needs that. If they're going to hit their heights, if they're going to be back in a Final Four, another chance at a championship, they're going to have a guy like Yesufu come in there and kind of be the old Vinny Microwave Johnson, right?
Yeah, that works.
Heat him in, come in, hit a couple of shots, get to the rim, do a couple of things. You're not going to play 25 minutes a game. Maybe it's 15, 18, something like that. Yeah. But Yesufu was good again last night.
No, he really was. He gave him a spark, 14 points in 19 minutes. And again, Wilson was 1 of 7 in the basketball game. 1 of 7 in the game. Now he's in foul trouble, so that certainly played a role in it. But Kansas back into the win column. All right, so let's get to the University of. And on Tom Cakert's message board, did you see the thread that was posted on Friday? The buckle up, there's a Friday, late Friday news drop coming, and then it didn't happen. And then the speculation was, well, what's behind it? What's behind it? Well, it came on Monday, and we saw what it was. I'm anxious to hear your take. I'll just real quick, and then I'll opine. I don't get the need for it.
Right.
I mean, why? Why? Why put this out there? But anyways,
the thought process, I'm sure, from Gary Barta is, well, this will be an appeasement to the fans. This will help
throw
the
them
fans
a little branch.
Throw them a bone. Mm-hmm. Let them have something that they can glob onto.
He just doesn't have carte blanche. He's now got to check these boxes or he's out the door. That's what you're saying?
That's, I'm sure, his thought process.
I get it. Yep.
Now, it's idiotic.
I agree.
Which shouldn't come as a surprise, but it is.
Right. If they're 10-2 or 10-3 with an appearance in the Big Ten champion and they only score 21, really? He's going to be gone? No, he's not.
2009, a very revered team.
Yes.
Average 23 points a game.
There you go. Look how far they got.
Well, and here's the other thing. He has backed himself into a corner. Let's play what you did there. They go 10-2 in the regular season, lose to Penn State one other. They win the division. They go to the championship game. They don't get it done, but they play incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't hit that benchmark. They don't get to the 25 points per game. So, by the terms of the contract and this amendment that was put in, Brian Ferentz is terminated.
Yep. June 30th.
How's Kirk going to handle that?
Well, two schools of thought. One, he follows Brian out the door.
That's exactly what I think would happen.
I do too. Or two, he convinces the powers that be, because he's still got a lot of power.
Yes, he does.
that, look, we were just 10-2. We played Ohio State or Michigan or fill in the blank. Incredibly tough. We're going to a good bowl game.
And our offense really did improve this? Because it's going to be better.
It is going to be better. They got a better quarterback.
They averaged 24.4 points per game.
Uh-huh.
Can't even do the rounding up thing, right? If it's a 24.5. 24.4 points per game. They go 10-2, give a hell of a run in the Big Ten championship game. Sorry. Nope. Got to fire your offensive coordinator now. You think Kirk's just going to accept that lying down? No.
Absolutely not.
So now you've backed yourself into this quarter because of this idiotic thing that you think was going to appease the fan base that you put together, and now you're going to lose your longtime head coach, a guy, we know Gary Barta, how much he respects Kirk Ferentz and how he doesn't want to upset the apple cart. And yet you do. So you either have a spot where you just give Brian Ferentz a new contract.
Or, yeah, he's got egg all over his face.
Or,
which wouldn't be the first time,
Kirk Ferentz walks away and retires.
Yeah.
And you don't want that either.
No.
Especially coming off of that kind of season.
Because you're not going to get to hire the new guy. You are not.
Does Gary Barta get fired if that happens? In this scenario that we're laying out.
Boy, he's Trent, with all this stuff, the body of work that he's put together with the lawsuits that have gone against him one after another and the ridicule that he's brought to the university, this would be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Maybe. Maybe.
Because you back the team, the university, the football department.
And it's either the head football coach or the athletic director. Whoever gets to decide.
And then the new AD can give a new contract to Brian, and everything's all well and good, and he gets now a three-year rolling contract. And that'll probably be the next step of it. But, boy, I mean, talk about unintended consequences, and we like to talk about that a lot. That is a huge one right there. They have a great season, but they don't hit that benchmark.
And they're liable not to.
Absolutely, it can happen. Look, the offense is not going to be worse. It can't.
No.
It literally is impossible.
They've improved the offensive line. They've got a couple of receivers. They got another competent tight end. They always have a couple. We knew Lachey was coming back. Now Eric Gall, who people rave about. And boy, does he ever cashed in on the NIL. By the way, I want to ask, I should have asked somebody around the team this. Did you see over the weekend, who was the Summit Agriculture Group?
I wonder, is it something like Suck Up, you know, at Iowa State? Is it something? So I have no clue.
So they signed agreements, according to Twitter, about 20 football players. What are they going to do for them? Work in the fields?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing. They're going to make go there. There'll be a couple of glad handy things. It's
I guess
it's anything,
right?
Now, what does an organization get when they invest in Iowa Athletics and write a check for a couple million dollars? I mean, do they get anything? Well, now you can shake hands.
Get to go to a different gate
and
different elevator.
Hey, all of your guys get to go here, you know, and you get to meet the players, and they're going to be in a commercial, and et cetera, et cetera. That's all it is.
I just wondered who's behind. Who is the Hawkeye fan?
Somebody with money.
Oh, you think? Summit Agriculture Group. I'm guessing they've got some money. But I just back to the announcement yesterday. I just don't. It didn't make sense to me. Why do it? Why do it? Because I think it's a lose-lose situation.
No doubt.
I really do. Look, they're going to win 7 games.
Yes.
Going to fall out of bed and win 7 games. Have you seen the schedule?
They won 7 games this year.
Right. And that,
in the regular season.
And there's no Ohio State. And there's no Michigan. You've got to go to Penn State. You know what I'm looking forward to? Do you remember watching Chicago Cubs games in the 80s and in the 90s? What was a big part of those telecasts on WGN?
Well, Harry Carey.
Well, that. And what about the shortstop? You remember the shortstop? And remember the fan in the stands with the Sean Dunstan-o-meter?
Yes.
Will there be a Brian Ferentz-o-meter with the total with the average number of points scored every game? Is that where we're headed to?
Oh, absolutely. There's already a Twitter account out there.
Is there?
Yes, the Brian Ferentz, I think, points meter, I think is what it's called.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's already happening, and it's going to be a season long. And here's the other thing. And this has bothered me going back to last week and Kirk talking about, you know, all these different numbers and the numbers that are out there. And we're 55-3 when we scored 25. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
What about when you don't score 25? So I found this number. Dating back in the 6 years as Brian, as the offensive coordinator. So Iowa, during that time, the numbers are exactly right. 55-3 when they score that many points. But there is another component here. When they score less.
What are they?
Well, they've lost 22 times. They have only one game where they scored 25 or more. Lost 38-36 to Purdue back in 2018. That's it. So one time in 6 years, Phil Parker, his defense didn't put up their end of the bargain. We're going to lump these two guys together because that's what Kirk wants to do. It's unthinkable, unconscionable that this is where we are with this football program. Kirk last week saying eight's not the goal. And then the goal was put in for seven. It's just on and on and on. All these different numbers. The defenses that they play this year. When they play Utah State, when they play Western Michigan, fourth quarter, we know what it normally is. Mm-hmm. Running to the middle of the line.
No, it's Cade McNamara dropping back and trying to run up the score this year.
When we get to the end of the season, and all of a sudden, boy, Iowa's got to average 27 points over the final two games to get there.
How about going into Lincoln on Black Friday knowing you've got to get 38 points to keep Brian's job?
That's going to be a huge component.
But you're 9-2 going into Lincoln, but you have to score 38 points.
Yes.
In order to keep Brian. You mean to tell me that if you're 9-2, there's a chance that this cat's losing his job? Of course he's not going to lose his job. And they put it, look, I don't know where there's wiggle room in the contract. I don't. It seems pretty black and white to me that if you don't check both of those boxes, the contract terminates on June the 30th. So what does that mean? The contract terminates and we just hand him another one? Or does the contract terminate and the person whose name is on the contract get terminated along with them? Don't know that. I have to believe there's wiggle room and a way out of this because 9-2 going to Lincoln, need 38 points. Don't get 38. It's not going to end well for Brian. Look, there's no other schools that do this. I get it. At least I have never seen it before. Somebody said that Gary Barta, and I don't remember if this is true, in one of Alford's final years, because I think he kept getting years tacked on, not those multi-years. Maybe there was stipulations around Steve Alford that he had to check these many boxes for Barta, or that was going to be the end of his run. And this is the second time that he's played that, but it's just the timing of it, for crying out loud. We're in the middle of February. We're a month away from spring practice starting, for God's sakes.
So the name that we're looking for that agriculture group?
Summit.
Bruce Rastetter. You know that name?
Yeah, he's on the Board of Regents.
Yep.
Well.
Caller just passed that along. Thank you to them.
Being put together. Thank you, caller.
Of course, he had the nephew that was maybe the worst punter of the Ferentz era.
That's right. Yeah.
Ooh, that was ugly.
This nepotism thing. And Iowa State's go on. Channel 13 last night did a piece on Thomas Pollard. Thomas Pollard. On the job he's doing for T.J. Otzelberger.
How'd he get that job?
I wonder. Mike is with Miller and Condon. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Love the show. Try to listen every day.
I appreciate that. Wish there was more.
I was mentioning that. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm only one person.
I got it. No, look, we're great. We're glad to have you. Fire away.
Anyway, I was looking back through the scores from this past season, and if you subtract what the defense scored, what Iowa averaged.
Oh, it's got to be in the it's got to be in the, what is it, Trent?
10
you know?
Points a game, maybe?
I have the numbers. Let me find it.
Their highest scoring game was 30. But I was just curious if this contract took into account.
I think it's not just offense. It's the team scores 25 points.
Iowa's offense this year averaged 14.16 points per game.
There you go.
So defense averaged 3.5 a game.
Yep. Unreal.
And the defense scored at least a touchdown, I think, in every game.
A lot of them.
Well, close.
Yeah.
One of them was 9-6, but
yep.
Anyway, I just was curious if the defensive stats and scores were backed out of.
No, it's all points, right?
Referendum.
Yep, it's all points. All Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Appreciate it. Speaking of Northwestern, we found out today that the Northwestern-Iowa game scheduled for Ryan Field on November the 4th is being moved. That game will now take place at Wrigley Field. Scott Dockerman, as far back, Trent, going all the way back to Saturday, asked Gary Barta, is there any truth to this? Is the Northwestern-Iowa game perhaps going to be played at Wrigley Field? 48 hours ago, Gary Barta told Scott Dockerman, news to me.
This has been out there for months.
I haven't heard a word. I mean, just say, you know, I don't have anything further to comment on at this point. Yes, no, it makes him look out of touch with what's going on in his athletic department.
Or a liar.
or liar.
Depending on...
I'm told not to say that word. I used to get called to the corner office, but I used that word
really?
Back in the day.
Untruths. Is that
yes.
better? He's being untruthful.
His nose was growing.
Right.
40 hours ago, hadn't heard a peep. News to me. Unbelievable. They can't get out of their own way. That's why when the Orange Crush thing hit, I thought this can't be a real deal, that Iowa is trying to do this on purpose to take away from Kirk's press conference that happened earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Because they can't get out of their own way.
And they finally, for the one the few
yes.
times,
yes.
had a PR win. What
right.
happened last week?
Right.
The Boys and Girls Club, the ovation.
Great.
It was incredible. It was one of the moments of the game.
Yes.
When you think back of that game, it was a great college
great game.
Basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be remembered because of just what happened on the hardwood.
Yep.
But a huge component also of that is going to be
yes.
the way that played out and the ovation
yep.
that those young ladies and those young guys
in their gold Hawkeye t-shirts. It was great. It was a wonderful
ear
moment.
Ear. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And then they
48 hours later, here they go.
Yeah. What's on your shoe? More crap.
More crap indeed.
One other thing.
All right.
I got to get this one final note. More going down this line. Because I get pushback from time, people on social media, message boards and the like, about continually talking about the yards per game. Right? Yards per game that Iowa averages. Because they don't play at the same tempo. They don't play at the same pace as other teams. They're built differently. They win differently. And they have won. Absolutely. I can't disagree with those points. So, something that would make more sense when you take tempo out of it, when you take pace of play out of there, is yards per play. Because it doesn't matter if you run 57
right.
plays a game
right.
or 107.
Yep.
Yards per play is a good component. Here are the numbers of Brian Ferentz. Yards per play, not per game.
And
per
do you
play.
Have where they stack up in the league?
I do. Well, not in the league, in the country.
Oh, in the country. Good. Better yet.
Year one, 108th.
Mm-hmm.
Year two, 91st. We get to the high water marks both years. Years three and four, 86th in the country in yards per play. Last year, 129th. The year previous, 120th. In yards per play. That's taking tempo out of it. That's taking out how fast they play, how many plays that they have. That is style of play. And they're bad at that metric, too.
Mm-hmm.
There is not metrics that you can point to and say they win. Outside of wins, final point. And what makes me the most frustrated looking at this is Iowa has had a lot of success. Point to the wins. Kirk mentioned it last week. Stack them up.
Mm-hmm.
They're behind only Michigan and Ohio State
yep.
in the Big Ten. You look nationally. They're, depending on where your kind of year cutoff is, top 15, some places top 10 in terms of wins during this time period. Yet, what more should have it been? They should have won the division last year.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Stanley, two of those 3 years, they were the best team in the Big Ten West, and they didn't get there.
Right.
And when you look back at each one of those losses, again, we look at the numbers, 22 of the losses, only once, you can point to the defense. 22 of them, you can point to the offense not holding up their end of the deal. This could have been so much more. With somebody competent, with somebody that actually is a real offensive coordinator, if you had an adult in place that could have run this offense,
yeah.
there could have been so much more to the Iowa program. And that's my continued sticking point. The success has been great, but there should have been more success.
Mm-hmm. It's not unfair. That's not unfair. We shall see. All right. Vinny Iyer's coming up, Northwestern grad. That's why we want to book him to talk about the Super Bowl, obviously, but put that out there early in the program. Man, Trent, I spent a lot of time on this game yesterday. I know you did because you're getting ready to go away and you've got to get your props in before your the plane takes off tomorrow or your app shuts down.
Right.
And the shakes begin.
Because we fly into Houston, too.
And there's no betting in
no
Texas.
No betting in there either.
Right.
So it's 6 a.m.
And if you would have flown into Texas, you would have had to sign up for an account in Texas.
Right, yeah.
But still, you could have got around it, right?
Right.
Probably would have got a sign-up bonus.
Exactly. Not the case, though, so it's
no.
all got to be done. Well,
by the time you leave.
By the time the bird leaves the air,
so
I'll still be fired as we're ascending up into the air tomorrow
right.
morning.
Yeah, they'll be picking up speed, and you're trying to get that last hit press.
There's just not enough time.
Or whatever.
I mean, it's just pages and pages.
There's so many.
And there's book after book, and we talk about it. Yes, we want everybody to download the Circa app. Absolutely use them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have pages and pages.
They'll have 400 and something.
DraftKings has a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a ton. On and on and on.
You found one at FanDuel yesterday.
This was at FanDuel. And I was shocked. Absolutely jaw on the... I mean, normally... You got a pretty good idea about where the odds are going to be. And this is also, we talked about this yesterday. You kind of want to have an angle. When you're sitting down with these props, you have to at least imagine, how do you think this game's going to play out? Mm-hmm. What do you like? Maybe you like the run game of Kansas City. Maybe you do like Mahomes bounce. Whatever it is, come in kind of with the script of how you believe the game's going to go, and then you can start weeding through all these different props
right.
that are out there. I think the Eagles are going to have success running the football.
That's their, they have to keep Mahomes off the field.
I like Miles Sanders mm-hmm. in a couple of props. I have him involved, a couple of save game parlays, him anytime touchdown. That's involved with a couple of them that I put
By
out.
By the way, you've got to get your Bet Rivers picks in somehow, too.
I've already emailed them, and we will have our accounts filled with our bets today, so we'll be able to get those in there as well. But this, again, this is from FanDuel. Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell combined rushing yards. Now, first of all, if you just would have put that out there alone, I would have said 55, maybe 60, something
that's
like that.
That's the number you would have set, that's the number you would have felt comfortable participating
at. And if it's about even money, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
FanDuel has it at 40-plus. Combined rushing yards, Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell. But not only that, it's plus 150.
Jeez.
I don't know what I'm missing. I'm sure
I don't either, because you know what? This isn't just Sanders. They distribute the carry, not evenly,
nope.
But Scott's going to get the football, and Gainwell seemingly, every time I watch the Eagles, is making a big play.
So jump aboard.
I
already
think
fired.
That's a good one.
FanDuel, plus 150.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Scott, Kenneth Gainwell. There's
What's the app like? I haven't downloaded FanDuel.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah. I've used it a lot. You know, one thing that I really like about that app is a lot of times we talk about college basketball betting market, and they're very quick. They're one of the few that have Missouri Valley throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the MVC a lot. We watch a lot yep. of MVC hoops. So something where maybe I feel like I have a little better angle at that one. So they have not every conference. They don't have the SWAC or the MEAC, but they have most of the major mid-majors, Mountain West, A-10, MVC, Ohio Valley, MAC. I mean, a few others out there, too. So they have that. They have a pretty deep menu on top of it. And the app, it's nice. They do a good job. You can see, I mean, them and DraftKings are the behemoths.
Yes.
With what they, and the head start that they got
right.
with Daily Fantasy.
That's true.
It took them and got
both of them.
What? I mean, 3-4 years uh-huh. ahead of the game, yeah. ahead of everybody else trying to play catch up.
You're 100% right.
Technology-wise.
They got the jump on the market. And you know what? More importantly than the jump on the market, they had their customer base already built.
Absolutely.
Before the green light went to New Jersey and then started to sweep away across the country. But not Texas, Trent, so bet early. Time for another $1,000 slam dunk. Go to KXNO.com right now. And once you're there, you'll see the pop-up box. Insert the word bank, bank, bank at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000 bank at KXNO.com. Another opportunity coming up in about an hour. It's 11:25. Vinny Iyer scheduled to join us next. Super Bowl 57 conversation with Vinny when we come back on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Do you remember the last walk-off homer to win the World Series? It's been a while, but the answer is 1993. Do you know when Wolf Roofing started roofing houses? That's right, 1993. Wolf Roofing has been around for a long time. For your next roofing project, put the experience of Wolf Roofing on your side. Find them on the web at wolfroofing.net or give them a call at 515-225-8866. Or online, Wolf Roofing.
No big game celebration is complete.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Complete without a game of squares. Circa Sports Iowa now offers Circa Squares bets. Everyone who has played squares knows the pain of pulling terrible numbers. With Circa Squares, instead of randomly pulling numbers, choose your square and choose which numbers you get. With a minimum bet of $1 and a maximum payout of $100,000, it's easier than ever. Download the Circa Sports app today to place your Circa Squares bets. For more information, visit CircaSports.com.
Must be 21 or older and present in Iowa to wager. If you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call
.net.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, taking you up until, just before 1 o'clock. Trent's plays of the day, coming off another big day yesterday. Started the week on a good note. What, 4-1?
4-1!
4-1, good note. You'll do it again today, and then off you go to Mexico, where the temperature's going to be?
82!
Nice. All week?
And pretty much. Saw an 84 in there, 179.
Rain every day?
A couple of times.
Oh, there really is. I didn't know.
Passes through, they say, very quickly, though, if you do get any rain or cloud cover there, and floating and drinking and
nice.
Adults-only resort.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. No worries about kids. So it's going to be a fun
time. Have you been before?
I have never been to Mexico.
I've been to Nogales, Mexico, which is right across the border from Tucson.
Oh, okay.
And I'll never go back.
No.
Not a tourist.
Not the scene you were looking for?
No.
Just to say that you got there, though.
No, actually, you know what? We went on a school trip from Winnipeg to Tucson in like 1975 or 4 or 6. No, must have been 4 or 5. And did it then.
In a school bus?
No, we flew. Yeah, yellow school bus all the way, 50 miles an hour. Working on Vinny Iyer, may or may not get him. It's one of these things. Mitch Holt is likewise scheduled to join me tomorrow at this time. He's got me on his list, so I feel he says we're going to do it. So we'll see, but it's the Super Bowl and certainly cut guys slack. So anyways, I started to say before we got into your props, and I like that prop, I really do. Trent, I can't get past the Eagles.
You can't.
As much as I respect Patrick Mahomes, and he's the best player in the league, the Eagles are just, I think they're just too much. I think it's in the trenches. I think they have a huge edge.
Huge edge?
Yeah, I do. I mean, on both sides of the football. And I like Chris Jones.
Edge.
And I like Creed Humphrey at center. I think him and Kelsey are the two best centers in the game. And they're going up against, well, their teams are going up against each other. I don't love Kansas City's receivers, with the exception of the tight end, who's all worldly.
And are we going to see Amir Smith-Marset out there?
You might.
Yeah.
You might.
With Harbin now officially out?
Yeah. You might. I never thought about that part.
Wonder what he is anytime touchdown.
Oh, boy. You find that out.
Get a little Iowa connection.
That's pretty good. That's got to be a huge number.
100-1. Well, we talked earlier the week, yesterday with Nick Athan. I was shocked at Circa, 200-1.
On Frank Clark.
For Frank Clark. I had to throw $10 on that.
Right.
At that price. That's $2,000 if he hits. I don't think it's going to happen, but there's better. They play this game 200 times.
Yeah.
I think he's winning more than one MVP.
Yeah.
And that's another way to look at gambling. There are so many of those out there, but you can't get past. I don't think the advantage is as significant as you do.
Uh-huh.
I do think Kansas City's going to have to run the football, though.
Yep. I think they can.
Yes. So the number.
And I think Philadelphia has to run the football to keep 15 off the field.
Oh, you have to do that, right?
Right.
It's a pretty easy kind of thing that you want to check off the box. See, time advantage, the offensive line that they have. Now, Lane Johnson has gotten a lot here recently.
I just spilt my bottle of water all over my pants.
Man. We got TV today. Good thing we don't have any stand-up shots.
Yeah, really.
Getting excited about this line play, Tom. But
well, I just... The number's still 1.5.
Yep.
The total, which I won't play the total, it's up to 51.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to bet the game. I just was going to take my medicine, swallow hard, and go down with my futures. The one that's left is the Chiefs. I have zero on the Eagles, and I think they're going to crush. And I've been wrong all year. I've been wrong all year long. When I love a game, it's never close. It goes the other way.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to really love this game and for the Eagles.
Well, I'm feeling better about my Chiefs.
You should feel good about your Chiefs.
No, but what you say is exactly right. We've talked about this now for weeks. The Eagles don't have weaknesses.
No.
They have things that aren't as elite as some of their other position groups or when you're putting together, but there's not a weak spot on this team.
No, you normally would think Patrick Mahomes, if we would have told you this is going to be the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes against Jalen Hurts, quarterback, this is no contest. I mean, Philadelphia's going to get run out of the building. Hurts has had a really good year, terrific year.
And the story of Jalen Hurts is so cool. I mean, a guy that lost his gig, still had to come back and help them win a championship, and then departs and goes to Oklahoma and has success, but not a first rounder, People thought it was a stretch that he was even a second rounder.
It was too.
And here he is. And if he doesn't get hurt, he's the MVP of the league.
He was the favorite the entire most of the season until he got hurt.
It was going to be cruise control. Mm-hmm. He was going to coast in there. They would have, what they did, ultimately get the number one seed and the bye and everything with it. He was playing at that level. And for a guy, I mean, just think of that, a guy that lost his job in college is on the precipice of being the MVP of the league.
To a Tagliavoe.
Yes.
Right.
He was an outstanding player in his own right.
In college, yeah.
A good pro.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Better than Russell Wilson.
Oh, God. I mean, there's 31 others that are, too.
Knock it off.
Well, I showed you the stat that the Sports Center put up. There's five categories Russell Wilson's 2022 season where it ranks up. Worst, 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 worst.
He had a moron running things.
Well, that's true. Look, Sean Payton is a terrific football coach. I think it's a wonderful hire. I'm glad that the new owners who own Walmart... And they're doing fine.
They got deep pockets.
Yeah, they got deep pockets. Vinny Iyer's ready if you want to get him. We'll get him for 5 or 6 minutes, get his take on this. I just can't get past it. Look, Lane Johnson and Landon Dickerson and Jason Kelsey, that offensive line is really good going up. Kelsey against Frank Clark, or against Chris Jones, that's worth the price of admission. Then on the other side of the football, Sweat and Cox and Graham and Hassan Reddick, who is the best player on the field, in my opinion, in the NFC Championship game. I don't love Kansas City's receivers, and if they, you know, do happen to get some time to throw the ball, Darius Slay's going to shut you down.
Yes.
Vinny Iyer joins us from the Sporting News. Vinny, thanks for finding time for us. By the way, your alma mater will take on the Hawkeyes at Wrigley Field. I know it's Super Bowl week. Did you see that announcement that the game's been moved from Ryan Field to Wrigley Field in 2023?
Yeah, I'm excited. We'll see how they take the field. Been to the first Wrigley Field game. It wasn't the best experience. I think we lost to Illinois in that one. So maybe it's worth a return back. I think I'll at least go to a baseball game up at Wrigley this year. So looking forward to that. But, yeah, I'm not sure what you can get from Northwestern football season. Just hoping basketball season continues to go pretty well.
No, they're having a good year. No doubt about it. Like the job Chris Collins has done. Well, let's get to Super Bowl 57. Vinny, I don't know your pick at this point. Boy, oh boy! What's the weakness of the Philadelphia Eagles? If Kansas City's going to win, what area of the Eagles will they exploit?
One thing that the Chiefs must do to win the game is they need to remember they have a good running game, and this is the one thing that has been the Andy Reid weakness through the years. As we know, he can sometimes just forget to run the ball. And it's not like they can't do it. They have very good blockers. Their interior offensive line is fantastic. Isaiah Pacheco is a fast and speedy runner. We've seen from the Big Ten that he's going to get those hard yards between the tackles, and you have Jerick McKinnon as your change of pace. So you've got to run the ball on the Eagles. They will do many things for the Chiefs. They'll open up the play action and create some comfortable short down situations for Patrick Mahomes to maybe take a deep shot. You'll take pressure off him with that the Eagles pass rush having 70 sacks. And then the added benefit is your drives take a little bit longer, and you finish and you keep the Eagles' offense off the field. So this is a must. I think there's so many benefits to the Chiefs running the ball often, and I think that's the only way they win. If they don't run the ball, I'll say more than 15 times in a game, I don't think the Chiefs can win.
I think it's a fair way to put it, and absolutely. I think the running games on both sides is certainly going to be important, and it comes down to that. Ken, we were talking about line play right before he came on here, Vinny, and he said he believes that there's a pretty decided advantage on both sides for the Eagles, both offensively and defensively along the lines. How do you look at the line play here? How big of an advantage? I agree, the Eagles have an advantage. How big is it in your mind?
It's pretty big up front, because when you look at the pass rush for the Chiefs, it is engineered mainly by what Chris Jones does inside. Now, it's by committee. The other guys, George Karlaftis and Frank Clark and all these guys, are pretty close with what they provide there. They're all like under double digits. But Chris Jones, if you can control Chris Jones, you're going to win. And you see what the Eagles have inside. I mean, they've got Jason Kelsey, the old veteran, and you'll get some help from either guard there to help. These interior guys have played well around Kelsey this year. So that's a concern, because I think the Eagles pass rush a little bit more balanced. If you look at their defensive front here. They've got Javon Hargrave in double digits. They've got Hassan Reddick off the edge as their leading pass rusher. He's got what Josh Sweat can do. He's been pretty underrated. Brandon Graham has had a career year with his sack total this year, also going into double digits. So they're more versatile in terms of they got four guys up front. They can do it inside or outside. Where I think the Chiefs are based on the inside. They're also based a lot on blitzing and sending guys to their back seven, some decent sack totals from their linebackers and defensive backs this year. So I think the Chiefs more have to do the disguise blitzing thing to kind of confuse Jalen Hurts. While I think the Eagles can just straight up line up. We've got four guys. We're going to win some battles here. I think if you look at the weak side, I think for the Chiefs, I think you'd have to say Andrew Wiley in right tackle. I mean, he's the guy that you would go after a little bit more than what you have on the other side with Orlando Brown and Joe Thibodeau.
Is there a decided advantage in the head coaching matchup here? I'm a Sirianni guy, and I didn't think I was going to be when, I mean, his press conference was it was forgettable. I mean, it was maybe unforgettable just because how bad that it was. But you know what? It's not about winning the press conference. It's about what they do on the field, and his players love him. And I think the fan base has really come around to this guy. I get that Andy Reid's won Super Bowls. He's been in a bunch of them. Is there a decided coaching edge, Reid, over Sirianni? Is that overblown?
I think when it comes down to it, this is a very schematically successful team in Philadelphia. And look at Philadelphia. I think this is a team that a lot of the execution is based on the personnel. I think the fit of the personnel is right. And we look at Doug Peterson, different style of coach. I mean, he's a rah-rah players coach as a former player. Well, Nick Sirianni's that maybe cerebral but fiery tough guy that you look at and a little bit misunderstood in that sense. He doesn't trigger the emotions there the same way Peterson did. I mean, we knew he was up and down, and you saw how that affected Eagles. So when you look at the assembly of talent and what they can do with that talent, the coaching has been off the charts. It's just a little bit younger for the Eagles. That's really the only difference with Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen. These guys are very young, helping a young head coach. They're just really appealing with the way they understand modern things with defense and offense. And the Chiefs have been doing it for many years as well, and Andy Reid is always staying ahead. I mean, he's acting like a younger coach with his offensive innovation. So I think it's just going to be fun. I think the one thing that you might have an edge for is that how does that Jonathan Gannon scheme, does he try to do anything too cute against Patrick Mahomes? And on the other side, does Steve Spagnuolo come up with some plan to throw off Jalen Hurts from the deep ball? So maybe that's where you see a slight edge one way or the other with the defensive scheme.
Interesting, D coordinators. Good stuff. Vinny, thank you for popping on for a few minutes. Understand you're busy. We'll talk to you in the off season. Thanks for what you did during the regular season. Sure appreciate it, Vinny. We'll talk to you in a few weeks. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good
to talk to you. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News as we get into SB57. Well, from the NFL to the NCAA men's college basketball brackets with our friend Shelby Mast, bracketwag.com. He's got Iowa State on the 2 line today, Iowa on the 8. I've seen some 6. Man, if they can get to a 6, I don't want to play.
That's the path.
That's the path, I'm telling you. It's there. We'll see.
Stay out of the 8-9 game.
Got to stay out of the 8-9 game. You know, that's almost unfair. I mean, the 11's got an easier path than the 8s and 9s. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with Shelby Mast. We'll talk about those brackets when we return on Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Call or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Shelby Mast has helped Trent and I out with the brackets for a handful of years now. We're grateful that he's back. He'll join us at this time every Tuesday, so assuming Shelby's schedule allows. If not, we'll work something out with him on a different day part. But he's back again. And Shelby, we're grateful for that. Thank you for joining us. And Iowa State, I wake up this morning and boom, one of, by the way, 6 Big 12 teams that you'll find in the on the 4 seed or better, which is remarkable in and of its own right. But Iowa State gets your last 2 seed. That's quite a feat for those Cyclones so far. A lot of grounds, a lot of games still yet to be played, but Iowa State firmly on the 2 right now.
Right. I like them. They're doing good things, but with the Big 12, things can change. And imagine this, they got the teams, the 10 teams with the remaining schedule with the toughest remaining are all Big 12.
Well, that shows you something there. Yeah, it shows you the depth of this conference, and it doesn't matter even if you're taking on Texas Tech, mm-hmm. Oklahoma
West Virginia,
State, West Virginia.
Who Iowa
Oklahoma.
State sees tomorrow on the road.
It's just on and on and on. It is an absolute bear there. You know, there's going to be a team that's going to be on the bubble. Maybe it's Oklahoma State. And they're going to be sitting there, maybe something like 17-14. Like, boy, can you really put a team in the bracket with 14 losses? Now, we've seen teams like that get in the past. But, for instance, just any one of the Big 12 teams, without knowing their whole resume, that loss ledger. I know that's a problem for a lot of people, but boy, in this Big 12, if there was ever an argument for a team, that Big 12 team's going to have it this year, aren't they, Shelby?
Yeah, I think so. You always hear, well, what if Team B or Team A from the Big 10 were to play that same schedule? And, well, they don't. That's just it. The Big 12 has just got a gauntlet of a schedule, no matter who you are, because one night Kansas can beat Texas Tech, next night Tech can beat Kansas. Mm-hmm. And that's first and last, just about. But anybody can beat anybody, and that is true, no doubt, this year.
Well, you have Oklahoma State as your first team out, so they're right on the cusp. But I want to go to this past weekend, Shelby. Duke, North Carolina was a really good game. Really, it was a fun day of college basketball on Saturday. ESPN, they lined it up pretty well. Duke, North Carolina, very entertaining basketball game. And I saw Duke come back last night and they got pounded by Miami. What did you learn watching Duke, UNC? You've got them both in the tournament. I think North Carolina, you have as a 10 seed. In fact, I'm looking at it now. You have them at 10. Duke is a 7. Either one of those teams got a significant advantage over the other. The ACC is kind of struggling to find its footing, with the exception, I guess, of Virginia.
Yeah, I think that it's a deeper league than everybody realizes. There's a bunch of teams that you get in, but then you've got teams like Louisville and Florida State that are way down the bottom. So any loss to those guys, and that's a black mark on your resume. North Carolina, they're kind of in a situation like they were last year. They are a decent enough team. They will be expected to possibly be in, but the resume says something else. They've only got one good win, and, I mean, at the end of the day, if they don't get more wins, they may not be in there.
I look at college basketball here today. We have Clemson tied in the loss column of the ACC. They're one of your last four teams in. Texas A&M, second in the SEC. They are out of your field currently. You know, we've seen conferences have downturns. We've seen that happen often. But, boy, I can't remember two of the major conferences both having kind of the way that it's setting up right now. Still got to get 68 teams in there. When you take a look at the bubble, a soft bubble is just what it is in today's environment. What do you think overall when you kind of look at the bottom of your seed list?
I think we're probably looking at a little bit of a stronger bubble this year, because there are good teams on the outside that I would like to be in, but I can't consciously put them in. A&M is one of them. They're a nice team, but they don't have the meat on their schedule that would push them in. They're close, but, you know, nowadays we got these mega conferences that play an unbalanced schedule. So it's not apples to apples, oranges to oranges. Everybody's doing something different. Big Ten, first place team could play a majority of their games against the bottom half of the league, whereas the fifth place team could play majority against the higher end teams. And so it's not really fair to judge by conference.
Yeah, that's a good point. Shelby, with Purdue getting picked off by Indiana on the weekend, did that do anything? You had them as your overall number one seed, and they remained there. How close were you, if at all, to moving that around and maybe elevating Arizona to your number one overall seed?
The fact that it was on the road and it was a somewhat close game, they didn't really have a chance of falling, unless it would have been a 30-point win for Indiana, and it wasn't. So Indiana helped themselves, moved up, but Purdue, I can't knock them for that. It's not a bad loss at all.
You talked about Iowa State up to the number two seed line now. The Iowa Hawkeyes have also advanced up your bracket here over the last week since we talked last. Three wins, all in Carver, but three wins against all three teams that are projected NCAA tournament teams, Rutgers, Northwestern, and, of course, Illinois over the weekend. This Hawkeye team on the eight seed, they are fourth in the country in quad one victories, but they also had that anchor of the Eastern Illinois loss. You look at the Hawkeyes' resume, what pops off the screen to you?
That loss. They can't do anything about it now. I know they had my injuries, they had a couple guys out, but still, Iowa should beat that team by 30, and they just didn't do it. I don't know if they were overlooking them or what, but, man, you take a loss like that, and that will stick with you all year long.
Shelby, we have 30 seconds left. The Missouri Valley Conference it's really tight. The Big 12 race is a heck of a race as well. So is the Valley. Any chance that somehow this conference sneaks out an at-large bid, or is that a long shot at best?
I think it's a long shot because the league is good enough where you've got multiple teams tied for first, and they're beating each other up. You don't have one team that has major separation to where they can hold their own and be in. Everybody has four or five conference losses, and that doesn't bode well for selection Sunday.
Shelby Mast, bracketwag.com, bracketwag.com. He brackets, does his bracket work for the Gannett, and he joins us each and every Tuesday to talk about the brackets as we inch our way to selection Sunday. Shelby, we'll talk to you in 7 days. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Shelby Mast, bracketwag.com, bracketwag.com. Adam Emenecker.